lovely people, and welcome to the 9th episode of Level Up, the ultimate podcast for all things gaming. I'm your host, Cece Odenbaugh, and today we're going to delve into more of Cece's lore. So, before I was playing Fallout or Dishonored or any of the games I've mentioned in my previous episodes, my first real taste of video games were the Nancy Drew games. When I was a kid during the summer, my mom would create a schedule for my sisters and I to do to keep us occupied. She had us play outside, she had us journal, she had us do some arts and crafts. But the big main portion of our schedule was to read, and I literally despised reading as a kid. I hated it with every fiber of my being. She would have me read books out loud on the couch next to her as she worked. She worked from home to make sure I was actually reading. Life hack for parenting, I guess. My mom would have me read all sorts of different genres to help me find what I actually enjoyed, because, of course, she didn't want this to be an activity that I was just doing because I needed to do it. I mean, reading is an important aspect of life, so she wanted to make sure that I actually enjoyed it. So my oldest sister actually recommended that I try reading the Nancy Drew books. And so I did, mostly because my mom was making me, but lo and behold, I didn't mind them. There are 175 Nancy Drew books, so Lord knows I wasn't going to get through all of them. But what captivated me about these books was the main character, Nancy Drew. She was someone that I could relate to. I mean, I wasn't going out and solving mysteries in the ripe young age of 9, but I can imagine myself doing so in some alternate universe. Nancy, who is this young, independent woman, was someone that I looked up to. Eventually, I read, the 15 books that we had in our house and was basically devastated when I went through all of them because I finally found some sort of book that I enjoyed reading. My oldest sister, who was the one that recommended me to read the Nancy Drew books, was in high school at that time. She's 10 years older than me. And one year, she gave me a random plastic tub. But inside this plastic tub were, I think, 4 or 5 CDs of Nancy Drew video games. Boy, oh boy, was I excited. My mom did actually let me play them. I didn't think she would, but she did, and I cracked open that CD, put it in the computer, booted it up, and started the first one I grabbed, Nancy Drew, White Wolf of Icicle Creek. And there started my lifelong hobby of video gaming, so if you haven't gotten the gist, that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the deep dive into the Nancy Drew games. In 1998... a company named Her Interactive took a leap, deciding to translate this beloved character into the world of video games. Starting with Secrets Can Kill, they brought Nancy's world of mystery, suspects, and puzzles to life in a way that resonated with fans of all ages. As I was researching these games, I came upon a pretty cool fun fact. Her Interactive's team was mostly women, which is a rarity in gaming industry, so they really understood how to appeal to an audience craving a strong female protagonist. Before we get into the puzzles and challenges of the games, I wanted to spend some more time in the point of view the game is designed in, since it's pretty important. The games are all rooted in classic, well, not all of them, but a lot of the games are rooted in classic point-and-click mechanics, which I mentioned other older games having in previous episodes. This POV meant that you'll navigate as Nancy through each environment by clicking to move and interact. What's special about this POV is the level of detail in each setting. Whether Nancy is exploring a haunted mansion or a tropical resort, each scene feels fully lived in, with hidden clues tucked away in everything from bookshelves to desk drawers. You have to spend a lot of time in every location. Players are encouraged to check every nook and cranny, and the environments reward your curiosity. For example, in Ghosts, Dogs of Moon Lake, you might find seemingly random items like a flashlight or strange notes that end up actually being key to unraveling the main mystery. Now that you understand the PV of the games, I can delve into the main aspect of the game, which are the puzzles. Since these games are obviously mystery games, you have to solve puzzles to progress through the story. One of the cool things about this game is the variety of these puzzles. Some puzzles are logic-based, others involve patterns, and some are based on historical codes. Don't worry, I'll explain what each of these are. The logic puzzles are a mainstay. Think of riddles, where players need to figure out which item goes where, or solve problems that rely on deductive reasoning. For example, in Secret of the Scarlet Hand, players encounter a logic puzzle involving ancient symbols that must be matched to corresponding historical artifacts. Some puzzles require players to spot patterns and images, codes, or even sounds. In Secret of Shadow Ranch, players need to recognize a sequence of colored stones to access a hidden area. This kind of puzzle taps into the visual learning style of players, which makes solving them feel satisfying and intuitive. Those ones were always my favorite when playing the games, because who doesn't love a satisfying end? Other puzzles involve calculations or logical sequences. A good example is in Curse of Blackmoor Manor, where players have to solve an alchemy sequence, moving items in a particular order to unlock a new area. This encourages players to strategize and experiment without necessarily having prior knowledge of alchemy, which I doubt many people do, as each step follows logical cues. Inventory-based puzzles require players to find items scattered throughout the environment and figure out how to use them creatively. These are, in my personal experience, the ones that take a lot of time, because if you weren't looking too hard in a previous area, you'll end up going around in circles, confused, trying to find a random object. For example, in The Captive Curse, you may find a series of unusual objects that seem completely unrelated until you connect them as tools to manipulate machinery. So, like I said, random. Combining items or using them in unexpected ways is part of the thrill, I will admit, especially since you often have to remember where you saw something that might come in handy later. Another puzzle is through conversations. Interrogating characters is a major part of the Nancy Drew games. Often players need to ask the right questions to extract key information. Dialogue options can unlock new leads, and in some cases, choosing the wrong response can end the conversation or even lead to a dead-end experience on many times. In the final scene, asking the wrong questions can cost Nancy precious time in saving a friend. The final type of puzzle, seen as the game, is my least favorite, and these are the timed challenges. Usually, these are at the end of the games, basically the big final close before you completely, or until you solve the game. Usually these puzzles are when Nancy's life or someone else's hangs in the balance. For example, in Danger on Deception Island, players have to complete a task under a strict countdown, creating a thrilling race against the clock scenario. What makes these puzzles so immersive is that they're often tied directly to the game's setting or story. For instance, Shadow at Water's Edge includes Japanese cultural elements like origami and Sudoku, making players feel like they're genuinely in a Japanese environment. This approach adds depth to the story and helps players feel like real detectives who need to understand their surroundings as much as the clues they're given. As you might expect, trial and error plays a significant role in solving these puzzles. The good thing is that these games rarely penalize players for making mistakes, which encourages experimentation, which, thank God, or else I would have never gotten through them. Another interesting aspect about the Nancy Drew games is that they offer two different modes people can play as. You can play as the junior detective, or you can play as the senior detective. This choice impacts puzzle difficulty and the level of hints provided. Junior detective mode usually provides more guidance, while the senior detective mode expects players to solve puzzles with minimal hints. The option to choose a mode makes the game pretty accessible to both new players and those seeking a challenge. You might think, okay, junior is easy mode and senior is hard mode. Nope. There's no such thing as easy mode in that game, at least in my opinion. The clues don't hold your hand. You're encouraged to use intuition and critical thinking, just like Nancy would in that situation. Okay, so now that you have a pretty good baseline, a good understanding of the game's mechanics, I wanted to kind of go down a list of three games and discuss those standout titles that highlight the range of creativity in the Nancy Drew series. So, Curse of Blackmoor Manor is the first one. This one is set in an old English manor. This game taps into gothic horror themes. With its eerie music, hidden passages, and supernatural elements, it's one of the most atmospheric games in the series. There's a heavy reliance on codes, alchemy, and riddles, which makes it especially challenging. The second one is Shadow at the Water's Edge. So I briefly mentioned this one. This game transports Nancy to Japan, where she encounters a series of ghostly events. It's one of the few titles that dives into horror themes more overtly, blending Japanese folklore with puzzles, making it a really memorable experience for fans. The third one is The Secret of Shadow Ranch. So this game brings Nancy to Arizona and combines Western themes with the paranormal. Players get to explore ranch life, ride horses, and solve puzzles that reveal a deeper family mystery. It's considered one of the best for its storyline and character development. So each of these games have a distinctive setting that shapes its characters, puzzles, and atmosphere, giving players a fresh experience with each mystery. Like any long-running series, the Nancy Drew games have a huge fan base, especially among young women who were drawn to Nancy's intelligence and independence. The games inspired many to pursue careers in fields like criminal justice, psychology, and history. They also introduced players to critical thinking and problem-solving skills in a fun, accessible way. These games have also fostered communities of fans who share theories, solve puzzles, and even create content around the series. Platforms like Reddit and Discord host active discussions where fans share nostalgia and excitement over new releases. The last Nancy Drew game was released on May 7th of this year. It was the Nancy Drew Mystery of the Seven Keys. So her interactive is definitely continuing to improve and innovate the game. It's interesting though, because I wonder if we could potentially see a fully open world Nancy Drew game. Mayhaps VR or augmented reality play a role. I don't know. We shall see. But I think the thing that I love about the Nancy Drew games is definitely, I mean, it challenges you in a way that I think a lot of other games don't. So it's definitely a more time-consuming game where, I mean, you're in these puzzles trying to understand how things connect or what ways you're supposed to get to something in order to unlock this secret hidden passage. But the cool thing about this game is things that seem like they don't matter do end up mattering. All of these different parts connect into one storyline where the final sequence ends up putting all these different puzzles together, and you're like, wow, okay, so that random thing I did back in that one area of the map actually did matter, and it plays a really big role in the game. So the puzzles are just really satisfying. They're definitely time-consuming, and sometimes I did have to step away because I was like, good gravy, why am I not getting this? But they're really cool because they're super satisfying. You know, you spend however long on a certain puzzle, and when you finally get it, you're like, ah, I'm so cool, I could do this. So that's probably my favorite part of the games. I haven't played too many of them personally. The White Wolf of Icicle Creek was the one that took me a good minute. My favorite part was definitely pretending to be a fast food worker because if you haven't read the Nancy Drew books, basically she's called randomly on the phone and she's like, hey, I think it would be really cool if you came down to this random part of the world and solved this problem. So obviously people aren't supposed to know that Nancy Drew is Nancy Drew. So she often goes and acts as some sort of random person to fit inside the storyline. So in Great Wolf and in White Wolf, she is pretending to be a worker at the hotel. So that allows her access to, you know, kind of ask questions without people thinking that she's a weirdo and being like, why are you asking these questions? I mean, obviously it's a game where you have to ask questions, so it's a little unrealistic in that expectation, but it is pretty cool because, you know, at the end people are like, oh my gosh, you're Nancy Drew. It kind of gives Scooby-Doo vibes in that aspect. But that wraps up our deep dive into the Nancy Drew games. Now, as always, Fireside Aces Radio is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent Magazine, published online and in print, 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experiential and academic learning in journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view. So thank you for joining me today as I revealed a little bit more about myself. I hope you enjoyed this digging into an iconic mystery series that many people still play today. This is your host, Cece, and I'll see you next week. Ta-ta!